Welcome to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. For the next hour, you'll hear proven methods for how to live the multiple income streams dream. Ryan is passionate about helping others discover their gifts and start their own business. He's published 5 books, and his courses and group coaching programs have changed the lives of thousands of students all over the world. Ryan's books include Private Label, The Easy Way, Finding Your Grace Place, and his latest, Streams of Income. And now, here's your host, Ryan Rieger.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Streams of Income radio show. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger. Today's a little bit different. So I'm chatting with my cousin, Sally Barrett. She lives in Slovenia. She has been there for a little over 10 years now. And my wife and I and family got to go visit her last year there in chapter 2 of my book of Streams of Income. It's called Why I Wrote This Short Book. And I wrote in here, back in 2009, I received a support letter from my cousin who was on her way to a short-term missions trip. As I started to read her letter, I began to weep because I so badly wanted to be able to fund the whole trip for her. I think she needed about $2,500. And I go on and talk about that and how, you know, $2,500, that was a lot of money. It still is a lot of money to me, but now I would be able to do that if I felt led to. And I wrote this book, guys, because I want more people to have that disposable income, to be able to do whatever it is that is on your heart to do. Is that, if maybe that's to quit your job, maybe that's to save more, maybe that's to give more, whatever it is, there are so many options out there online to do that. And in this book, I talk about the 3 main ways, but it was fun to have Sally on because she's not in business at all. And so it's a little bit unique because I normally have folks, we talk about business, but we pulled some business lessons out of some of the things that she's gone through recently. Last summer, she broke her foot. She'll tell about that story and just the grueling struggle of getting back and some of the, just even being depressed about it. But those of you that are going through some hard things right now, I hope this episode encourages you, because that's what the reason I had her on, is to just encourage you guys that God knows, He hears you. And she will talk about remembrance in this episode, and He remembers you. And no matter how big or small of a thing you're going through, He cares. And so that's the reason we recorded this. So I hope this is encouraging to you, and we'll be with Sally right after this. Sally, welcome to Streams of Income Radio. So excited to have you. Thanks for joining me on this.
Thank you so much. It's fun to be able to talk to you from the other side of the world.
That's right. You are the second family member to be on this podcast. My dad was a few episodes back on Father's Day.
So okay. You have... second? Why am I not the first? Right. Clearly, I'm the most beloved. But
you are. Yeah, but your dad went busy.
Your dad is definitely the most loved, I think, of all the family members.
Oh my gosh. So, guys, this is my cousin. I know I just introduced her before this, but Sally, tell me about what you're doing. Tell me about your business. What type of business are you in and all that?
Yes. So I actually work with an international Christian student organization.
Wait, you're not in business?
I know. It's shocking since I'm on here.
This is called Streams of Income. I don't have any wisdom to share with us about how to create multiple streams of income?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be able to help you with that. So I'm not sure I'm here. No. This
might be a short episode.
5 minutes in, people have stopped listening.
That's right. No, guys. Okay. So obviously the reason I have Sally on here, she had an awesome a newsletter. And I actually, if you have read my book, Streams of Income, chapter 2 is why I wrote this short book. And I talk about my cousin who was on her way to a short-term summer missions trip back in summer of 2009, and this is that cousin. And so I wrote on here for you that maybe haven't had a chance to see this book yet. I put on here that as I started to read her letter, I began to weep because I so badly wanted to be able to fund the whole trip for her. I think she needed about $2,500. And I just go on to write that, you know, $2,500 is still a lot of money to me. But now if, you know, if she said she was going on a trip like that, I would be able to do that. And I want to be able to empower families and people who, you know, want to support missions, charities, whatever that they want to support, have that income to be able to do that. So that's why I wrote this book. And so it was so fun, to be able to have you on here with me to talk about more about what you're doing now. Cause that's 11 years ago. And
yeah,
Malene and I
that was just
my mother-in-law got to visit you in Slovenia. Here's a picture of that.
Yeah.
And we got to travel around with you. So it was kind of, for me, it was kind of, you know, almost a dream come true being able to, we support you on a monthly basis and, but be able to visit you and what you do there. So talk also in all seriousness. You had a newsletter last month about, remembrance and you broke your foot. And so I thought, man, there's some business lessons in here that we'll pull out and we'll get to that. But first, yeah, tell us about who you are, what you're doing in Slovenia.
Yeah. So as you know, cousins with Ryan, my name's Sally Barrett, and I'm originally from the wonderful state of Indiana. However, I now live in Ljubljana, Slovenia, which is a small, very small country in Europe surrounded by Italy and Austria, Hungary and Croatia. But I came here with an international Christian student organization that is known as Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU is the short name, and got involved with them in college. Thought I was just coming for a year to work with university students. That turned into a second year. Now I'm going on my 10th year. So I've been here for a while.
Wow.
But yeah. So we do two different things. We have kind of two tracks with students. One is more along the spiritual element, and then we have different types of events and programs that are along the more spiritual development aspect that we work with students.
Cool. I can't believe you've been there that long. It seems like every time your time is up, like, well, you're going to stay, you're going to come back, and like, nope, you're staying.
I know. I kind of have felt that way too. It's been like, wait, what? Do we have 10 years?
You are where God has called you. You're obviously thriving there and you're in the perfect center of God's will. So that's the safest place to be. But it was so fun to visit you and see it firsthand, exactly what you do there. And it was just fun. And then travel all over around because I didn't even know where Slovenia was until you went there first time. I'd heard of
it. Yeah, me neither. No clue.
Well, it's a beautiful country, guys. If you ever have an opportunity to travel, go, because it's just so gorgeous and there's so many fun places to visit right around there. Mm-hmm. And it was a great place for us to kind of, that was our home base for, you know, a week or two while we were there visiting you, and we went to Austria and Italy and Croatia. It was fun. Mm-hmm.
I always tell everyone, everything's an hour away in Slovenia. It's like you have the hills, mountains, seaside. You have vineyards, caves, pretty much everything but like the desert and rainforest.
Right.
I feel like we have pretty much everything else. So.
No desert, no rainforest.
I can't really say I complain. Those would probably be the two I'd pick last.
Right. So talk about last year, you had an unfortunate incident and what happened and then I want to get into that because it's that's what made me even think, oh man, this would be a great episode because I can pull some business lessons out of it.
Yes. So last year, before this incident had happened, I had been training for a half marathon, and followed by that in the spring, I then did another run that was more of like the mud runs, you know, where you're running through mud and you're climbing and jumping off things. And in the process, ended up a few days afterwards breaking my foot. And so that was last summer in June. Then got my cast off in July, and 3 days later ended up re-fracturing the exact same thing, which was partially unfortunate, but as my doctor had said, was just an accident waiting to happen. The people who took the cast off took it off too soon. And so therefore my recovery didn't end up just being twice as long, but it was like three times as long because I had lost so much strength in my bones and in my muscles. And if it broke again, I would have needed surgery. So I ended up being about a 5-month recovery in total, and came with a lot of emotional ups and downs, more downs probably than ups.
That was, pretty much right after we had left.
Yeah, it was probably just a month afterwards.
Wow.
But my parents came in the middle, so they got to take care of you. Not the type of visit they had expected.
Gosh. So your newsletter last month was just awesome. It's called A Call to Remembrance, and you actually got the chance to talk to your church about this. So what did you talk about in that sermon or your talk, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah. So basically my pastor just asked, hey, I would love for you to get to talk with the church. You can share whatever you want. And remembrance and even the command God gives us to remember is just something that I had thought a lot about recently, which is, it's really funny because how I started thinking about it, I don't remember, but it happened during quarantine. I was talking to my roommate and I don't know, I was clearly going through something, and she had just brought up this idea of how we see so much in the Bible being called to remember. And it's not even just like, maybe you should remember this, but it's actually like a command, like remember, remember. And that just really sparked an interest in me. And it was funny because as she was saying it more in terms of New Testament and Paul writing to churches. But my first thought was even all the way back into the Old Testament and God and the Israelites. And as I discovered, I even saw that before we were even called to remember, this idea how God first remembers us and how God chooses, not because he forgets us, but it's he remembers like his covenant with people and his promise to people. And so therefore he remembers them and calls them to action. And so just started working with this theme of what that even looks like in our lives and why we're called to remember and what that looks like. And that's kind of what formed my talk.
Wow. What was your talk about? Because I know you wove in you're breaking your foot, and you had a scripture in Psalm 6 that the Lord led you to. So that's what really thought, man, this would be awesome, because there's so many times in business that things don't go our way, even in life. And so how you talk about that scripture in Psalms and what led you to that remembrance talk.
Yeah. Well, in my talk, I was kind of all over the place.
Right.
But in terms of like what it made me think about when I was breaking my foot was just this idea of, even as we're thinking about specifically like God remembering us and what does that even look like to be remembered? And that just really made me think about the verses where it talks about how as like God remembers us, we can learn so much about him. And we learn that like he hears us, he remembers the promise he's made with us, he looks at us, he has concern for us. And that just brings me comfort, at least when I think about the times I'm in grief and in sadness and in pain, also in rejoicing that I'm not doing that alone, but I am known by someone and I am remembered by someone. And so the verse you're talking about was just, in the midst of my pain of breaking my foot, it's funny because the first time I broke my foot, I felt great. I felt very joyful and thankful. And I just felt like it was very easy for me to just think, you know, this is temporary. It's going to change. But then as soon as I broke my foot a second time, I was a completely different person. I felt very irrational. It was like, people are going to listen to this and think, what is wrong with this person? But I was like, I'm never going to walk again. Like, it's just a broken foot. Clearly I'm going to walk again. But like, right. It just, I felt like I just couldn't like keep going from like where I was. I didn't see how I was going to improve and how I was going to progress. And I was literally just sitting on my couch crying and really angry and upset. And I came on to this verse in Psalms where at one point in time, it says, it like talks about how our, like my pain, my bones are in agony.
Actually, I'll read it here because I have your newsletter right in front of me. It's Psalm 6:2-6. And it's amazing because you said that that's exactly what you were doing. It says,
absolutely.
Yeah, it says, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. So basically, I am just kind of depressed. I don't want to go any further. I don't know what to do here. Oh, Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? I am worn out from groaning all night long. I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. What version is this that it's he was on the couch just like you were?
I know, it's NIV. But it is funny because like, the language, when I think about it, it is funny because I'm like, okay, this is written by David, and yet the words that it was translated into felt so fitting for what I was experiencing. I was like, I'm literally feeling that my bones are in agony from them being broken. Right. And I was just so tired of how upset and angry and frustrated I was. Mm-hmm. And I had literally been weeping and drenching my couch with tears. So it was one of those, it was in the midst of it where it was really funny, first of all, to feel like I'm reading something so old that just so clearly speaks to me. Mm-hmm. But it also just made me feel extremely known.
Right.
And to be able to remember, wow, like, this was written so long ago, and yet God is consistent, and the God that is in the midst of this circumstance is in the midst of my circumstance with my broken foot, as well as any circumstance that someone is in. And so it just felt very comforting. And through that, I felt like it really was able to bring more perspective through what I was really going through.
Right.
It was significant, but people go through significantly more difficult things than that. But it did show me that whether I'm going through something small or large, or someone I know and love is, like, God is still there in the midst of it. And so what does it look like? Not only to know I'm being remembered by him, but for me to then practice this act of remembering also.
That is so good. That's exactly where I wanted to get to, because there's so many people, Sally, in my audience that they're going through business stuff. It's hard, especially with this COVID thing. They're discouraged. Some of their businesses are booming, but still they're fearful about what's going on around us. They may be going through some very significant life issues. People that just struggling personally, and you know, the issues that Melaine and I went through with believing for Callan. And so this even spoke to me at that level, because you said here, in God's remembering, we see it as an act to fulfill his promise. He has already made a plan and a promise to fulfill it. He is simply indicating that it is time for the plan to take effect. And so in that scripture says, how long, O Lord, how long? So we think, gosh, like with us, you know, it's like, God, when are we going to have our child? When is he going to come? When is he or she going to come? And, you know, you were even there one of the times that we were going through a miscarriage. I remember that. And it's like, God, where are you in this? And so your words were just comforting even to me. And I can even tear up now, even after 3 years after Callan was born. It still brings me back to that place of, like, you know, I know people are wondering, like, God, where are you in this situation with my business, with my family? Mm-hmm. I think you said it perfectly. A broken foot is nothing compared to what some people may be going through, but it was significant to you. And because it mattered to you, it mattered to God. And he's not just the God of the big stuff. He's definitely the, even if you hurt your pinky finger today, you could still cry out to him, and he cares about that. So my encouragement to all of you guys listening to this, whether it's a broken foot, a broken relationship, a business that you feel like, gosh, you can't go any further, reach out to him. He cares for you. It's significant to him. He cares about even the little things, and just remember that he cares. Remember his covenant to you, that he has a promise and plan to fulfill that call on your life. And so that's one of the main reasons I wanted you on to, well, we'll continue to talk about this, but just that's the message, that he cares, and he wants to help you in whatever you're going through. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think we even see, just as we really practice this idea of remembrance, mm-hmm. it really begins to form who we are and what we choose to cling to as truth and as right. our identity within ourselves. And so I think mm-hmm. it can make a huge impact in our lives, in our families, in our communities, mm-hmm. because it really begins to form who we are. Yeah. So it is very important to practice.
Mm. That's good. What are you, you're always such, so it was amazing. I know that you're just human. But most of the time you're just like so happy and joyful and excited. And so to read that you were down and sad and bitter and angry and feeling hopeless, like that's just not normal for you. So it was just, you know, interesting to read that, but I just know that, you know, you're normal like everybody else is.
So. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's true. Talk to my roommates, will be able to tell you that the best.
Oh my God. You're such a fun loving person. Anything you can think about business wise that, you know, that jumps out at you based on what you've gone through, business lessons off of remembrance, or any encouragement you would have for somebody, because of your journey there in Slovenia. I mean, sure, it's not always been, you know, all happy fun. It's been work. How do you continue to do it day in and day out when you're maybe not seeing the results that you want to see? You know, you're not seeing the people affected like you think they should be affected. How do you keep going?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm glad I'm having this interview today, because I feel like I can like look back and see these things, because I do know in the moment it's really hard to.
Yeah.
It's like when you feel stuck, or when you feel as if you just keep getting things pushed towards you, it's like, mm-hmm. okay, maybe one thing you can handle, but if it's five or six, it gets overwhelming. Yeah. You know, and so I feel like there have been times where that's not been easy to look at, because mm-hmm. I feel like there have been times where I'm like, I can't catch a breath. But I do think now has been a time where I can look back and see, wow, even in the midst of it, how quickly I feel like I was able to adjust. Mm-hmm. I think that is huge, mm-hmm. especially when you can't control your circumstances, because mm-hmm. understandably, many of us can, to some extent, allow our circumstances to dictate our emotions and our behaviors. I think, to some degree, that's just in our nature. Mm-hmm. And grief and disappointment are normal, and they're all right. However, if we just continue to sit in our grief and disappointment, then all it leads to is bitterness and anger. And so I think, just first of all, realizing, okay, what am I not in control of?
Yeah.
And
that's good.
What am I in control of? And so what I'm in control of is my attitude and my ability to move forward. And if I'm not in control of something, then how do I need to adjust based on my circumstances? Mm. So I think those are two of the most important things, is just being able to say, okay, I've taken the moment I needed to grieve, but I can't sit in that. And right. so what around me do I need to adjust to, and what inside of me can I control? Mm. So I'd say that has been a lesson that, I mean, I'm still learning continually, and I know I'll have to continue to practice it, but something I feel like I asked a lot sooner than I used to.
Mm. That's good. That's very good. I had somebody on the a podcast episode a while back. They said, control the controllable. They don't worry about, in our world with Amazon, for example, there's just certain things that Amazon might do that are just crazy wacky. Like I don't understand why they did that. Or you have some performance notification in the back end of your account. They're like, what is this for? I didn't do that. And all that just, and so, but those are things you can't really control. You just kind of have to go with it. You just keep going day after day.
Yeah,
you have I imagine you have a. We talk a lot. I talk a lot about the why. Somebody's when they're struggling, go back to the reason you started your business in the first place. Why are you even taking my courses? Why are you even listening to this podcast? There's got to be a reason. It's not probably just for entertainment, because I don't feel like I'm that entertaining. You are naturally, but
no.
It's obviously. There's a deeper reason there. So I would imagine you have a very strong why that allows you to keep going when you break your foot twice.
Yeah. And honestly, I feel like it's been through the challenges that have really firmed up my why. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay if our why evolves and if it changes.
Sure. Oh, that's good.
My why when I first came here 10 years ago as a fresh graduate out of college looks a lot different than it is now, out of growing passions and breakups and development, you know, and new teammates. And so, I definitely think I have been able to firm up my why a lot more, which for me personally, my why is to inspire and motivate women walking through issues of personal grief, identity or health, and then lead them into deeper spiritual fulfillment. And that's
love it.
That's something I created that doesn't just have to do, you know, with my 9-to-5 job, but is a passion that really just pushes me whether I'm in Slovenia or elsewhere. So
I love it. Are you still doing the healthcare stuff?
Health coaching?
Yeah, health coaching. Yes, yes, yes.
So I had just graduated from that a year ago and got my certificate. And so then in the midst of breaking my foot and stuff, took a pause. Sure. But actually this summer has been a really good opportunity. Coronavirus for me at least has been really good in allowing me to take the time to think about how to really begin to move forward more into some different ideas and projects I have dealing with health and fitness. And so actually I have some ideas and things in the works for the future. So
awesome. Well, you know, you can always talk to me about that stuff. I love brainstorming, thinking about how you can monetize that, because that's totally something that you can, you know, as you know, I talk about, you can take something that you're passionate about like that and, you know, you can do it for free, but at some point you got to feed your family and yourself. So, you know, there's a win-win there to be able to provide valuable services and also make an income from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fun to see what you do with that, man. Mm-hmm. So tell me, okay, one last question and I'll let you go because I know you got stuff to do, but you have a team there, and I know a lot of people in my world have teams of people that they hire, employees, maybe they have virtual assistants that work for them, but it's still a team. Any advice or wisdom that you've learned of how to lead a team well that can translate over to the business world? Because it's all the same. You're dealing with people, whether it's in a job or it's in a, you know, in a missions atmosphere like you're in. I know a lot of the same principles will apply.
Yeah, absolutely. This past year, we had a very large team with people from three different cultures. Wow. So I think even with that, that helped me to learn a lot more. I'd say one lesson is to be a learner. And so whatever that might look for you, I actually would read business books on like team development, not even just within like the Christian culture, but just in any work culture to help me identify more ways of needed growth. Mm-hmm. So I would say being a learner of people, but also of the resources you have. Mm-hmm. Another one I think is huge is how to address conflict. Mm-hmm. I think that has been the biggest area of growth I've seen in a lot of our teammates, but also an area I'm most passionate about. And so I just think that you can really save relationships. You can have more productivity and more trust amongst coworkers and in your team if you are able to deal with conflict in a healthy manner. And if you're also able to help others walk through conflict, because we've had people come on our team who didn't know how to do that. And I'd say by the time they left Slovenia, had grown significantly in that. So being a learner and knowing how to deal with conflict in a healthy manner and not just avoiding it, but actually walking into it, I think would be my biggest suggestions.
Yeah. That would be tough for me. I'm not a in your face type of person. Let's talk it out. We have a problem. We need to get on a call. But it's important to do, because if you value that person, it's just like with Melaine, like I don't just throw stuff under the rug because I love her and I don't want things to be between us. And so that should be the same way in the workforce too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of it is, you know, about working with people. You're working with people. And so people are different. People come with different hurts. You don't know what's going on in their home lives. But it's also the business, and it's about working efficiently. It's about making quality products, getting things out on time. And I just think healthier teams are able to do that better. You can do tons of research, and you're going to see that. You don't have to just be working with people. You can be working with products, but there's someone involved at some point. And so in any business, in any aspect of marketing, you need to have healthy relationships in order to be able to move products, I'd say, more efficiently.
Yep, that's good. All right, any encouragement you have for folks listening, just anything on your heart, anything, any life wisdom or business wisdom, anything you've learned in your time there that could be applicable to folks listening?
Oh man, I wasn't expecting this one, but this is a good question. I think something even before we started talking that was just something I was thinking about and that was on my heart is, and actually came out at a good time because you just asked about working with people, is just working with people, I think is always going to be rewarding. And so whether that's creating a product, whether that's your job is, you know, health coaching or personal development, whatever it is just really being able to better identify what are the needs of people and how you're able to then help to assist those needs. And I think if you're able to do that, I know that's something you're passionate about and you talk about all the time. And you've said that to me and I'm like, yes, absolutely. And I just, my job is sitting across from people day in, day out and hearing their hurts, hearing their struggles, but also their joys and their passions and questions. And the better you know people and the better, the more direct you can even be in asking them, like, what do you need? What are you struggling with? What do you desire? Once you have those answers, you're able to then more effectively provide a solution and to assist them.
Amen.
So I just love working with people and I love helping people and figuring out, okay, how can we come to a solution or how can I help you come to that solution? So, I think just what you've probably told people on all of your podcasts, and that is just be able to know and understand what people's needs are. And then from there, how can you best assist them with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's you can serve them better if you know exactly what they want. And so it's easy. Yeah. We talk a lot about getting involved. If you know, being you want to go into health coaching, well, who is your audience? Who are you trying to serve? Where do they hang out online? And so let's say that you feel like a lot of your clients are on Facebook. Well, then you go into find these ladies. What groups are they in? Go in those groups. Mm-hmm. How can you serve them? Well, you can kind of listen to questions that they have and start answering those questions in those groups. They're going to say, who's this Sally girl that seems like she knows what she's talking about this? and then they're going to stalk you. They're going to go to your Facebook profile. They're going to see that you have an ebook or a free coaching session, and that's, you're going to build your audience that way. So that's exactly right. But it comes down to, and it's the same thing that you do. It's how, you know, the lady sitting in front of you at a coffee shop there in Ljubljana, how can I help you? How can I pray for you? And the Lord will give you ideas on how you can serve that person. That's so cool. It works no matter what, whether it's in business or in missions or whatever. It's universal. What does that person in front of me need? How can I help them?
Yeah. I'd also add to that, though, being genuine.
Yes.
People can tell when you're being a fraud and when you're not genuine. So if you're talking to someone, I don't know, I know nothing about being an engineer. If I talk to an engineer about stuff that they do for a living, they're going to know I'm a fraud. They're going to know I have no clue what I'm talking about. You know, compared to if I talk to someone about health and fitness, you know, it's something that I've been interested in for 8 years now. And I've dealt with my insecurities and over stressing my body and hormonal acne. You know, those are the things I can relate to and I'm passionate about. They're going to see that. So,
that's good.
Knowing what they need help with and what they want help with, but also from a place of sincerity and a genuine desire to assist and hear.
Right. If a woman comes to me for health coaching, I'm not even going to pretend that I can help them like you can. So I would just say, no, you just need to go see my cousin Sally. She'll help you out. No, that's absolutely right. Be authentic, be yourself, and you'll attract the people that that you're most able to help anyway, especially if you know you're sincere about it, and you especially go into those groups where they hang out or find them online, and they'll be attracted to you. So good stuff.
Like you told me that when we were sitting down and you told me that, it's like, it feels like it should be a no-brainer, but I'd never thought about it. And I was like, that is genius. Why don't you just go to those groups, learn from them, ask them questions, see what they need. I was like, Ryan, you're brilliant.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't have you on here to say that, but that means a lot. So cool. Well, guys, thanks for listening. This has been fun. Sally, appreciate you being on with me and sharing about your journey and some of the what you've learned in the mission field, how that can apply to business and just life in general. So appreciate you so much.
Thank you for asking. It was fun. I enjoyed this.
Good. We'll do it again.
I can do this every week. See you again.
You can be a guest host. I'll just quit and I'll hand it over to you.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to Streams of Income with self-help author Ryan Rieger. From right here in the Dallas Metroplex, Ryan teaches several entrepreneurial courses and group coaching programs to students all over the world. Be sure to listen next week at the same time for Streams of Income with Ryan Rieger.